Before we begin, everyone do me a favor.
Thanks.
Read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers.
Yeah.
I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I lost the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Yeah, my estimate in them, a group of men, it doesn't even matter.
Nope.
I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or Brazil.
Welcome to Tokens Radio Show. It's Sunday, April the 28th. My name's Christy.
I'm Linda.
I'm Peter.
Lauren.
Elizabeth.
And the whole crew is here today.
And I see Bobby.
We are here.
Oh, my. We're broadcasting live from the studios.
Look at her up. Don't you remember Romper Room? She would go with her little
We're looking for the others.
I'm dating myself.
Yes.
We're broadcasting live from the studios at KCNR in Redding, California on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. You can stream us online at KCNR1460.com to catch today's show and access our past shows. And follow us on Telegram and X for updates at Tokens Radio Show. And we have both Christina and Ben here in the booth today. So good to see you guys, and thank you for producing the show. It's always good to have you here.
And you're not having deja vu. We actually did this intro a little earlier.
We did.
So this is take two for us.
Yes, there you go.
On
a little
your
hiccup
talk
with
radio.
Yes, a little hiccup with the computer.
Yeah. A little fun. A little fun.
Yeah. Good times.
Exit stage left.
Yeah. Well, the U.S. is slowly firewalling itself from the rest of the world in financial innovation. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Like, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Help me out.
But first, before we get started, let's have a market update. Currently, Bitcoin's at 63,632. IBIT ETFs are 36.32. That's $36.32. I'm so used to saying Bitcoin like just being whole number, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Ethereum is 3312. XRP is 51 cents, and XLM Stellar is 11 cents.
Wow.
Everything's just kind of in a holding pattern right now.
Yep. Nothing new. I still like, even though Bitcoin's down, I like it. I like it. I like it a lot.
It's a buying opportunity.
Sorry, yes, it
folks.
Is.
Today's show is sponsored by Queen of Dragons, home to Pinnacle Cultivators. Their carefully cultivated, unique strands offer elevated experience with exotic genetics and robust flavors. The Queen of Dragons is known for fair pricing, stringent quality control, and knowledgeable staff. Stay connected by following at Queen Dragons on X or calling 530-276-9771.
Yeah, well, we just kind of gave that little tease about how the United States is firewalling itself from the rest of the world. And that was an X-chain that was started by Lynn Alden, the great Lynn Alden. She's quite
I like her.
Yes.
I do, too.
Absolutely. So she had this this. And the reason why it was brought up is that the Phoenix wallet, the Samurai wallet, was taken down. And the owners of the wallet were arrested and accused of money laundering because of a mixing feature on the app. And this is just another situation where, you know, government is colliding with the innovation of cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin, and this is one of these things, and some owners are going to jail for, you know, who knows what, really.
I got a question about this. Wasn't there a time when the government said that the PGP was a munition? What was the final court outcome on that? Is code a munition or not?
Well, code is code.
Yeah, I think that case actually was resolved. I remember those guys printing words on T-shirts and saying, hey, this isn't illegal. This is all it is. All of this code is just the same thing as
free
this T-shirt. And they actually won that case.
The T-shirt said, this T-shirt is ammunition.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then it wrote the letters, a sequence of letters that the government was saying was not permissible.
Yes. And so in this case, too, I think that Uncle Sam wants to look over your shoulder and see everything you're doing. And when they can't see everything you're doing, they get nervous and they want to see everything that you're doing. So they want to use Chainalysis and be able to figure out whose wallet is attached to whom. And they can't do that with these coin mixing things. And so that's why they ended up going after these guys. And it was funny, we were talking before the show about, it's strange when you can find somebody in a foxhole in Portugal where they found one of these owners, yeah. But you know, we can't find 80,000 missing kids and other things.
In our own country.
It's about priorities. So,
right. Yeah.
So, could you explain what mixing is?
Sure. It's when basically the simple version is you're just trading coins with other random folks.
Right.
And that way, when they do chain analysis, they can't go from your KYC account or whatever, wherever you got the coins, and then follow a direct line and know that you own a wallet. So basically, it's a form of, Uncle Sam would probably call it money laundering, right, of cryptocurrencies, but it's just washing the addresses clean by exchanging coins with other users. And you can do it with, you know, not just Bitcoin, but altcoins and everything.
Does Wall Street kind of do that?
I think Wall Street does more than kind of do it, and I'm sure that the thing used more for laundering is good old fashioned U.S. dollars. We already know that as a fact too.
The banks pay huge fines on a regular basis for doing exactly that.
You ever watch Breaking Bad?
Oh yeah,
where they're using the laundromat and bringing in, you know, loads of fiat and literally washing it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. You know, the government is not comfortable with that because they want to know the customer, the KYC, and I think that's really what the whole issue is behind this.
For sure.
But it's not going to stop wallets from the. What were you going to say, Peter?
My issue is this: our founding fathers thought about this very carefully. They were very specific, and they baked this right into our Constitution clearly and explicitly in English language for a reason.
Right. Well, that has been kind of whitewashed over for a long time now.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
This is really what a fight that we're in. You obviously know the Constitution, your rights, the rules of the game, but many people don't. And we're losing our sovereignty because of that.
And our freedom.
So thank you for saying that.
And, you know, one of the many use cases of Bitcoin is sovereignty. And really, you shouldn't be afraid of this because, Uncle Sam can't just come and steal your Bitcoin away. Even if they know you have it, they still can't come knock on your door and take your Bitcoin. So the only way that this would be an issue for the average user is if you have your coins on exchanges where they actually have access to it. But if you properly store your Bitcoin on your own wallet, you'll be fine. So nothing to worry about here for the average Joe. It's just one of the many use cases for Bitcoin, which is what this show is about, which is freedom and sovereignty. Yeah. So,
Go ahead.
Yeah, to that point, Bitcoin isn't under the jurisdiction of the United States.
Right.
That's the good news.
It's open source software.
Money separate
worldwide.
From the state, and also it's, you know, America. We should be leading in monetary innovation, and by
100%. We're alienating ourselves by what we're doing.
We're pushing all the innovation overseas.
Yes.
And that's just,
and we're going to have value extraction because of that. Because people are going to say, no, I'm tired of, you know, the nose of Uncle Sam, the U.S. government, continually in my business, continually stealing from me, continually watching and monitoring and telling me what I can and cannot do. And they're going to leave. They're going to take value with them, and they can do it now because we have a value-keeping unit that we could walk across a border, get on an airplane, buck naked without anything, and still take all of our value with us. So it's the first time in all of history that we've had a value-keeping unit where you can actually do that, you know.
You know, I was going to say,
they don't know if I'm going butt naked
across
the border. Yeah. They don't think I have any assets.
Right, yeah. That you check your prison wallet and everything.
Yeah,
you're nothing.
I mean,
yeah,
so I'm good to go.
You can literally turn your brain into a hardware wallet memorizing
absolutely
12 words.
So, how did they know that I have it and you don't, or whatever? I'm just saying.
Well, you know, Phoenix Wallet did precisely that.
Mm-hmm.
They went and just got out of the country.
Right.
And so it doesn't mean that Phoenix Wallet is going to shut down.
If we look
They're
back,
just not going to be in the United
States. If we look back in history, these kinds of events where people were trying to flee repression, they didn't have a lot of options. So I've heard a couple stories. I heard one from Henry Winkler actually told this story about his grandparents. They actually had precious metals that they melted down, and they coated them with chocolate and put them in like chocolate boxes. Another family had silver, and they formed it into coat hangers, and they hung all their coats and clothes on these hangers, and they were able to slip through borders and checkpoints by smuggling things that way. And, you know, with the sophistication of, you know, the ability to detect metals and whatnot, you wouldn't be able to pull stuff like that off these days. I mean, they're catching people now pretty much, I don't know, I've seen another one like a week or two ago where they caught somebody trying to smuggle gold on their person or in their person and busted them for it. So there's no... That's okay. There's not, it's not viable anymore to try to take your value out of a country. And that's just one of the many use cases of Bitcoin. So it's sovereignty. It's sovereign money where you yourself are actually able to possess your value. Linda's having a meltdown.
Wait a minute. While you guys collect yourself, there have been times in human history when somebody's tried to possess their own money and carry wealth, perhaps by, say, ingesting it and crossing a border, and they don't bust them. They do a lot worse things to them.
Okay? Right. Yeah, we were talking about sovereignty.
What's the sign that I've done this?
Yeah. Cough. Look that way. We were talking about sovereignty. I think this mic's not hot anymore.
We were talking about
sovereignty. And, I mean, if you look back at Gen 6 and other events, mm-hmm. all you need to be labeled as is an enemy of the state, or
terrorist.
You throw the word terrorist out there, mm-hmm. and you pretty much lost all your constitutional rights. And they can just seize your property, seize your house, seize your car, seize your bank accounts. Yet again, Bitcoin, sovereignty. They can't get that. Good luck, guys.
Just seems like the heavy hand of a government trying to become more like an authoritative
Absolutely.
One. Absolutely. A totalitarian
government. Authoritarian. Yep. We want them to be authoritative. They're being authoritarian.
Right.
Thank you. That's a correction. Good. Thank you. Authoritarian.
It's sneaking up on us, too. It's like the whole analogy of the dog on a 20-foot chain.
Yep.
And when you slowly take that away one link at a time, pretty soon the dog has... And he's, you know...
He doesn't
and that's
notice
us.
It.
That's the general public.
Yeah.
And they're doing it by lies. We don't know truth anymore. We don't. We were talking before the show about certain events that happened in the United States. And... it's hard to not jump into, you know, be labeled as a conspiracy theorist or tinfoil hat person, but we don't know because our government lies to us, and that's bunk, you know.
But what's amazing about that, a lot of those conspiracy things that they say that isn't true, we find
came
out that,
true.
That they came true.
Yes.
Not that, you know, they happened, and you go, this really is true.
You've been paying attention the last 4 years,
right?
Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, the guy with the tinfoil hat 10 years ago we thought was crazy was a prophet.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, having that happen with Samurai, then our FBI issues a public service announcement telling Americans, beware of financial services where they're not asking for your KYC information.
Right.
Little do they know, many people do want to go work with organizations where they're not asking for that information.
But just give that information to us and we'll take
because
care
it,
of it for you because we
right.
really do.
Because it could be unsafe.
Yeah, it could be. So let me do it for you.
And this is where, you know, this is your right as an adult to make those decisions. And we take risks in life. And if you happen to work with one of those, you just know what the risks are because the government's coming to get you for those types of things.
But
you
they're think doing it for our protection and our safety, guys.
Because we don't know better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
do
we
you
are
think they're
going to
come
you.
Rescue us if I do it with fiat money and I go out there and I do it, buy something or a piece of property or a business and lose it all? They're going to come save me?
Your defense? No.
Oh, they're not? Boy, you're Debbie Downer over there, Elizabeth. Thank you.
Have another cup of coffee.
Yes.
I know.
Well, then our beloved Senator Warren is laying it on.
Lord.
Yes.
Pocahontas.
Yes, and engaging the Department of Justice and Department of Homeland Security, asking to investigate the use of cryptocurrency in illegal trade of child sexual abuse material. Mm. But again, where's the 80,000 children that we lost track of?
Yeah,
and even the percentage of crime committed with crypto is like point something. It's very low in comparison to cash, and that's what I was reading. Just somebody commented on one of the articles that, you know, they've never cared about what's going on with cash, and is this just more of about an attack on crypto? I have to wonder the same.
This is the same old refrain that they always use. They pick the highest emotional value idea, which is, you know, sexual abuse of children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, any amount greater than zero of that is just horrible, right, to the average person. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing to pick.
Yep. Yeah, and this stuff like this is just prodding people and herding them into KYC, giving up information that, does KYC actually protect you? How does that protect you?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And somebody wrote here on X, it says, and Hitler warns against anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or what happened if we put this amount of energy into the Epstein case?
Right, exactly. All good points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Yes.
And it's truthful points. They don't like that.
So she's concerned about the tsunometry. Ooh, that's a good word.
Tsunometry?
Yeah. Pseudonymity.
Pseudonymity.
Yes, thank you.
Word check.
You got it, Peter.
Pseudonymity.
Yes. They're concerned about that word.
Peter, the gold star.
Yes. That allows payments to move quickly in the crypto world. That's very disconcerting for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it.
What does KSAM stand for? Does anybody know offhand what that is?
What is it?
It's referring KSAM. It's talking about has allowed the payments for KSAM to move quickly into the crypto world. And they're committed to ensuring that Congress and the administration have the full suite of tools needed to end KSAM and punish sellers of this material. Mm. So I guess that's going to be sexually explicit material. That's probably what it means.
Mm.
Yep.
Oh.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Well,
yeah.
I guess pick your cause, right?
For sure.
That's just really scary stuff, though, you know?
Yep.
With what's going on and the power that they want to implement onto Bitcoin in that world and onto us. So like we were talking, I forget the other day, I think it was, they'll start offering rewards, I think,
right,
for turning people in, basically. You know, like they've done with other things.
Mm-hmm.
And during COVID, rat on your neighbor and we'll give you this.
Yep.
Sounds like Cuba.
But that's what they do. They prey on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, historically it's happened throughout, you know, even modern history.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
What is it in the 30s, 40s?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, like I say, look what they did during COVID, rat on your neighbor. I mean, I didn't skip a beat. I still went to work and everything like I normally do. But like in the Bay Area, you know, they were telling people, if your neighbor is out driving their car, you know, let us know and give us our location, basically.
It was much different down there from what I hear. A good friend of mine just up and moved to Arizona thinking it was going to be better there. It was for a little while.
No. Yeah. But there were some places that didn't. I think Oklahoma didn't skip a beat, but that was one of the few. But anyway.
Well, Peter St. Ong, he writes a great article, puts it out on Substack every Friday. He's an economist. I think he does some work with the Heritage Foundation. Is that I believe that's where he's at this point. But he, if you read his material, he just tells it like it is. This is not going to be a long podcast or a long article with his stuff. He just lays it out there, and he titles this, "The Next Big Bailout Could Be the Mother of All Bailouts." It's the federal government.
Yeah.
And so he lays out what's going on with that and showing the charts and also say, hey, you know, there's nothing happening here, but there really is something happening here. And there's problems if we're going to be returning to printing money. And if that happens, he's saying it can dwarf any bailout we've ever seen since the creation of the Fed.
100%.
Now, think about bail-ins, Dodd-Frank. Okay, that happened in 2008. That was supposed to prevent this type of thing from happening.
Christy,
yeah, Peter,
what is
yeah.
a bail-in? I always need to
a
be bail-in? Reminded.
Okay, we did a bailout in 2008 where taxpayers footed the bill to prop up the largest banks because they were too big to fail. And that was to secure the banking industry. Well, they said, no, we can't do that anymore because Fed taxpayer outrage. So now what the bail-in is if you are a depositor with a Federal Reserve Bank, okay, one that does banking with the Fed, any U.S. bank, let's put it that
Pretty
way,
much, yeah.
outside of a credit union.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't apply if you put deposits where Gavin Newsom puts his deposits at Silicon Valley Bank.
I bet he's in a credit union. But in any case, it says right in the disclosure that how much of your deposits can be used towards a bailout or a bail-in. That's why it's called a bail-in.
I was talking about Silicon Valley Bank.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Specifically where most of the deposits were not insured, but everybody was made whole there.
Right.
Yeah.
He was part of that.
Yes.
But that's with any bank. They make you believe that your deposits are insured, which they are not.
It's right. deposits and insured with certain exceptions.
You know the crazy part of all this,
No,
too?
They're insured. You're not.
Yeah, but the thing is that terminology is becoming, overall, is becoming gray. So there's no black and white to it. Technically speaking, the supply of money is going up still to this day through many means. Mm-hmm. The number one is actually debt. Debt at all levels, from the personal level all the way through government. Look at our ever-increasing, I don't even know, we got to be close to $36 trillion now. I mean, we're probably just a few billion below that. But that's the craziest part. So they can say, like, you'll hear these, like, oh, we're in, you know, QT, we're tightening and whatnot.
Right.
But in actuality, the supply of money is going up. And when the supply of money increases, that really equates to price increases for everybody. So when you hear the term inflation, the average Joe just thinks, oh, price inflation. But inflation really, if we really analyze it and take a step back, it's when we print a bunch of money, which we could get hung up on the term print. I'm just meaning, however, the various means that the supply of money actually increases, it interprets down the road into really hitting the small guy the hardest, us, you know, at the gas pump, at the grocery store, at all these different places. So, sorry to go off on a tangent there, but
it's okay. He's talking about that specifically. He says, there's about $100 trillion in government debt.
You know what?
And maybe even more because of unfunded liabilities.
Right. These things are going to start growing exponentially. I did a search, and Bank of America analyst actually said, if we're not careful, if rates don't change, if something doesn't happen, by this time next year, our national debt payment will be $1.7 trillion. Right now, it's only $1 trillion, which if we're not there right now, we're going to be there closely. Our largest expenditure as a nation will be payment on the national debt, if we're not there already.
For the interest. The interest.
Just paying the interest on our debt, over $1 trillion. And if things don't change, we're heading for $1.7 trillion.
Oh, and with that, I think we need to take a break. And we will be picking this conversation up on the other side. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. And
see you on the flip side.
We'll be right back.
buzz of excitement as the Reading Rodeo returns. Fucking by the river, May 15th to the 18th. Secure your place now with tickets exclusively available at ReadingRodeo.com. Experience where legends are forged and unforgettable memories created at the Reading Rodeo. Mark your calendars for May 15th to the 18th. Thank you to our sponsors, Reading Rancheria, Valero, and Ford. Don't let this opportunity slip away. Visit ReadingRodeo.com today.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, HavenHumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hey, welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local update. In the heart of wildfire country, a game-changing airbase emerges to combat California's fiercest flames. Officials gathered in Reading to celebrate the completion of an expanded airbase, a one-of-a-kind facility designed to revolutionize wildfire fighting. The base will double its capacity to accommodate firefighting aircraft and load fire retardants, enabling faster response times and more effective initial attacks. By hitting fires hard before ground crews arrive, the base aims to prevent small fires from becoming devastating infernos like the Carr, Camp, and Dixie fires. The $28 million project also includes a new hangar to provide a safe working environment for personnel during Reading's scorching summers. As California braces for another wildfire season, this state-of-the-art airbase offers hope in the battle against nature's fury. Meanwhile, Shasta County residents, stay informed and safe with Alert Shasta, the new and improved emergency alert system launching May 1st. Shascom, the public safety dispatch agency for Shasta County and its three cities, is replacing the outdated Code Red system with Alert Shasta. The new system promises faster, more targeted alerts using advanced geolocation technology. However, the approximately 10,000 residents currently signed up for Code Red must register for Alert Shasta to continue receiving notifications about wildfires, natural disasters, and nearby law enforcement incidents. Residents can sign up through Shascom's website or by QR code with their smartphones. Don't miss out on critical emergency information. Register for Alert Shasta today. In other news, the winds of change stir up a legal storm in Shasta County. The California Attorney General's office is seeking to transfer a lawsuit filed by Shasta County against the California Energy Commission, CEC, over the controversial Fountain Wind project, arguing that the state agency cannot receive a fair hearing due to the presumed local prejudice. The county claims the CEC lacks authority to consider the 4,500-acre project for approval, which was previously rejected by the County Board of Supervisors. The Pitt River Tribe, whose ancestral lands include the proposed site for the wind turbines, has joined the lawsuit against the state, opposing the project. In 2022, the California legislature approved AB 205, allowing the CEC to potentially overrule Shasta County's decision and approve the Fountain Wind project. Texas-based ConnectGen aims to build up to 48 wind turbines capable of generating about 200 megawatts to power approximately 80,000 homes. The county denied the project, citing concerns about wildfire risk, harm to cultural and tribal resources, tourism, the watershed, and mental and physical health. The county argues that moving the case outside Shasta County would make it difficult for tribe members and residents to follow the proceedings. They propose appointing an outside judge to hear the case in Reading instead. As legal battle over the Fountain Wind project intensifies, the future of renewable energy development in Shasta County remains uncertain, with far-reaching implications for local community and the state's energy landscape. Lastly, a Reading family seeks support as their baby battles a rare cancer. 6-month-old Jonathan Wilson of Reading is fighting neuroblastoma
glioblastoma, a rare childhood cancer. Currently undergoing chemotherapy at UC Davis Medical Center in Sacramento, Jonathan and his parents face a long journey, with doctors estimating treatment could take 6 months to a year. Currently, the family is staying at the Sacramento Ronald McDonald House in hopes to bring Jonathan there when he's well enough. Jonathan's mother, Stephanie Hale, expressed uncertainty about her son's future and asked for prayers and support from the community. A GoFundMe page has been set up to help cover medical and travel expenses. Their goal is to raise $15,000. To donate, visit www.gofundme.com/f/3escf-johns-medical-expenses. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
I think. I'm having a hard time hearing over my cans today. But, oh, man. So, before we went to break, we were talking, I don't know, a lot of things.
Yeah,
Peter Saitong and his take on what is happening with everything.
Yeah.
So, I think we still have a little bit more to go on that.
Yeah.
For sure.
What he was talking about, best case, worst case scenario, you know.
Well, he had kind of left off to where spending on all gas and there's no brakes,
mm-hmm.
and the ramifications of that. So, do you want me to go jump into it?
Yeah, jump right
okay.
in.
Yeah, go.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a tally up with rising spending, rising debt, and rising taxes, and the conclusion is that we're on a runaway spending train with no built-in brakes. So, it's going to crash somewhere. And it leads to higher inflation, runaway debt costs, and higher taxes that progressively strangle, to your point, what you were talking about, Lauren, the very economy allegedly sustaining it all.
For sure.
So
yeah,
we're
Peter
very
actually,
fragile.
Peter had a great point during break, actually.
The rate limiting factor is debt to GDP.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Every household faces it. Every state faces it. And at some level, every nation faces it. And
right.
once you owe more than you'll ever be able to pay back, that's it. You're done.
Yep.
I read something the other day. It was like 130%
GDP.
But they don't take in all the factors in that. So it's higher than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, true.
Yeah.
For what is actually
actually
talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if on the individual level, like if it's your family and you hit these points, you basically you go bankrupt, right, Peter? Yeah.
Right. Now, here's what the government tells us about inflation. They have the CPI, but they very carefully and studiously leave out energy
mm-hmm.
or food
right.
so that they can show, oh, look, we've got the whole inflation thing completely under control. But, I mean, that's absurd because who doesn't use energy or food?
Well, that's because that's the biggest expense anybody has.
Right.
So you
and they reclassified
out.
CPI.
Yes,
they started
they
throwing
did.
In washing machines and other things that are so randomly bought.
Why would they need to be unclear or not accurate that way? Because it's a deception.
Right.
Yes.
100%.
Smoke and mirrors.
Yes.
That smoke-filled room.
Yeah, and you're questioning them? No.
So with rising prices, shrinking economy, and this is going to what Lauren and Peter were talking about, it reinforces each other as there's simultaneously more money, yet less stuff being produced for it to chase. And that is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, have you guys looked at, during COVID, I just flashed on toilet paper. Okay. Before COVID.
You mean the craze that happened with the toilet paper?
Well, that, not only that, but how they started shrinking the rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Used to be able to go to Costco and get a decent size roll of paper, right? And it looked pretty nice. And you, maybe Scott Tissue, for instance, always had one of those good size rolls. But now you go and you look at them. They're considerably thinner. And the paper is just so paper thin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, how much smaller can they make this roll?
Don't ask.
They're going to have to change the toilet paper roller so that it doesn't look like it's so small.
They
right?
may have been anyway. Talking to Cheryl Crow. Would you know, say three sheets?
Three sheets.
Is all you need?
Three sheets is all you need.
I'll tell you, we were buying toilet paper like Bitcoin, right? You
know,
because it was going to be worth something. And we were hodling it, yeah.
You know, you were talking about back in the good old days of the Cove. I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but things like bicycles and boats and RVs and all this kind of stuff was just going crazy in price, just going up, 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 up. Right now, we're starting to experience what's commonly known as stagflation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I've been hearing that word in TradFi a lot. I listen to a lot of TradFi people. I heard a lady I follow named Mish. She does Market Minute. She's been saying stagflation for a while now. Mm-hmm. And it's basically people don't have that extra money to spend on all those frivolous things because they're using the bulk of their funds just for the necessities, the essentials. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to really experience stagflation. You could even see it in our local markets here if you ever go, like, look at Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace, compare prices of, you know, things like I mentioned, you know, like cars and, well, third cars, boats, motorcycles, bicycles, RVs, all that, those kind of things. They're a lot less, and yet the amount of money that's in existence is going higher.
Right.
And it's we're actually up again just recently. I forgot. You can check on the Fed's actual site, and they'll say that the supply of money is going up, and yet it's not going to the right people. It's mm-hmm. going to, you know, the richest of us, and it's really hitting the little guy the hardest. So
downtime alone is taken out. There is a production of fiat to
right.
put it into the system. So mm-hmm. you get a mortgage. Mortgages are at higher interest rates.
Yep.
Prices of the homes have gone up. You get that mortgage secured if you're fortunate to get one, and the Fed's got to get the money printed to put it back in the circulation to accommodate for that loan. What were you going to say, Peter?
I was listening in the last 2 days to a traditional finance radio show talking about the stagflation,
mm-hmm.
and the advice that they were giving to retirees was to put it all in equities. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, that's so untraditional. Traditionally, the older you get, the more you have in, say, fixed income.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they were basically telling them if they put it into fixed income, they would, you know, they'd get eaten alive. Mm-hmm. So basically, the retirees are being forced to go to the casino
right.
stocks because they have no choice.
Yeah. Yep. Well, they do have other choices out there if they're willing to take a hit.
Yeah. This is financial advice, by the way, everybody.
No, this
please
is
write
financial
this down
advice. Because I've got people that have pulled their money out and totally done something else with
my
it.
My advice is, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are buying commodities that are in the know because commodities are the essentials, you know, staples, foods, things we need. But
yeah,
I think,
it's worth taking the gamble that they have something instead of nothing, you know, in their retirement.
Right. The old adage was, keep bonds basically the percentage to how old you are. So if you're 45, you want 45% of your portfolio in bonds. The problem is all these nice, tidy little packages that investors use that they were handed down and taught in all their little seminars and whatnot, they're all garbage. You could throw them out the window right now because it's trash, you know. I feel sorry for a lot of folks that are stuck in fixed incomes because they're realizing now that they can't keep up because, hey, guess what? Your house insurance just doubled or your car insurance.
Especially in California now.
And so they're realizing they're screwed and there's not a lot they can do. I've heard of people that retired 5-plus years ago saying, hey, I need to go get another job because I can't afford my lifestyle now. Even though when I budgeted this all out, it was supposed to pencil out. But guess what? We didn't see this coming. We didn't see prices skyrocketing, and now we're in trouble.
You know, you mentioned insurance. We just got our renewal.
Thank
you for offering the renewal. I'm happy about that. But last year, we ended up raising our deductible to bring it down from $4,000 to like $2,500 a year or so for fire insurance. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at it this year, and it's like, okay, it's cool. It's right around the same amount.
Yeah.
So go to my husband. I go, I think, why don't we just up the deductible again and get this down? And because let's bank it another way.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because this is just the way it's going.
100%. I mean, I live in Palo Cedro, and I'm a member of groups there, and it's literally tripled.
Wow.
How can you absorb?
Prices are wild.
It's insane. Yeah.
There are a lot of people that have their land up for sale right now because they either lost their home at a prior time and was not able to get insurance, or simply they were able to self-insure, and now they're finding that they weren't able to self-insure, and so now that land is up for sale.
Yeah.
But
here's the worst part of that is California has forced people to go for that California plan.
The FAIR plan.
And they don't have any money, so.
Yep.
And I've got
the same problem as our entire government.
Yeah, the insurance people is
Medicare,
they have to,
Social Security.
They put it out there to the people that, your house will be covered, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But if anybody calls the card on that, sorry, you're out of luck.
Right.
So now you have scammed the people out of triple their money for the insurance, and then you're not going to help them replace their items if something was to happen.
Right.
So you are doubled hit them easily
in
this little scam.
An insurance of last resort, and it's so expensive.
Yeah, I know.
And it's a scam because you can't pay. So they're telling you that you have to have it to cover your items.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't tell the people that you're not going to be able to be covered.
So when you say cover your items, I thought it only covered the structure.
It doesn't matter.
So have to insure your possessions.
No, what I'm saying is it won't cover your house.
No,
they have
no
money.
Right.
So your house burns.
Right.
You're SOL.
SOL.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll try to find money out there somewhere, like what they do with Bitcoin when you're buying Bitcoin and you don't get settled for a week or two because they need to find it, right?
But they do the same thing with health insurance here.
Yeah.
See, they're hammering the individual all the way across the board, especially here in California, is they say, okay, well, if you don't have insurance, then get California insurance at this amount. If you miscalculate what your income is, your fee for that, I've seen it upward of 10 grand for people on their taxes.
Yeah.
Because they miscalculated their income. And they go, well, they didn't tell me that. I go, well, I know, but I'm telling you now.
Yeah. I know people that have their house paid off, and they're going naked because they just can't afford to pay the 15 grand. But we took a right turn into California insurance and quite a ways from. But this really is home, and that really hits home, and this is exactly what we're talking about.
This is great because I was talking to a friend the other day who has a little Bitcoin saved up, and not a significant amount, but we talked about this specifically. It's like, okay, you can go ahead and get the insurance, or you can buy the property and perhaps maybe bank from your Bitcoin, and you're hodling it anyway. So why not hold on to that and consider that as an option, a plan C for self-insurance?
That's smart, No, I like that idea. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it's not too far away. I mean, I know getting one whole Bitcoin for people just seemed like it's never achievable. But those who have been able to maybe acquire a Bitcoin or two, they can conceivably do this very easily and just leave it alone.
The beauty of that and the reason that it works is because they can't steal that from you.
Right. That's
right. So if you lost a court case, and they wouldn't be able to just go and take your bank account.
It's
they wouldn't
unconfiscatable.
Yes, sir. Sovereignty. So, yes, 100%.
It's your property.
Yep.
It really is.
Yes.
The other neat thing about Bitcoin is it's an asymmetric bet, meaning the upside potential is so vastly greater than the downside potential.
Right. It is.
Not even funny.
That's a good point.
Yeah, in a world where we know what's happening in the other side.
Right.
Which we've been talking about.
I mean, it's so obvious, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, people may not want to believe it, but we know it's there.
Right.
Yeah. So I had a soundbite here. I don't know if you want to listen to it.
Yeah,
it's called the
Money printer is coming.
Brr.
Yeah. It's by Swan
it's
Bitcoin.
Air.
Oh, let's see if I can get the sound on.
It's here somewhere.
Yeah, let me get the sound on.
It's coming.
I don't know why it's not sounding here.
Yeah, we were talking about the money printer and
the
actual definition of it. But it's...
Does it really have a definition except
exactly.
Push the button?
Well, that's the thing. That's just one variety of it.
Right.
But technically, even when, you know, these banks that don't have, you know, the reserves on hand, fractional reserve folks...
I can hear something, but it's...
Let me turn that up. Yep, yeah. Here we go.
Okay, let's roll it.
Look how loose financial conditions are for the private sector, because that's all that's mattered for the last 40 years. But what we're seeing in treasury markets, financial conditions are far too tight for the federal government. When you go back through history and you look into these situations where the federal government of any nation that can print its own currency needs more money, and the private sector is already seeing secularly high inflation and tight unemployment, guess who wins that tug of war? It is the government 100% of the time. They print the money. They get their liquidity. To your point, this is just in recent weeks. We're still in the why are they doing this phase. But what follows the why are they doing this phase is, oh my God. We're Brazil. We're Argentina with U.S. characteristics. And that, I think, will come in the next probably 3 to 6 months, if I'm conservative about it. It could come faster. But that's why the U.S. government is a fiscal problem. Most market participants are the private sector.
Yes, they do have a fiscal problem.
Yeah. I love the saying I've heard a few times. If there was a country that could really, truly print itself into economic prosperity, we would have seen it already.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But yet we keep trying.
Yeah, we were talking during the break regarding this topic. And, you know, it does it is in the best interest of people in a lot of countries to actually hold on to U.S. dollars. Just for the mere fact that it is depreciating at a slower rate than their own currency, but we say it's the U.S. dollar is the cleanest shirt in the dirty laundry, so it's still dirty, but
in many ways,
yeah. But you know, we have a lot of the world fooled into thinking that we've got it together here in America, but in actuality, they're still being devalued.
But there's places that are getting tired of it, too, and saying,
you know what,
we're done with the dollar.
Yeah.
We don't want to be pegged to the dollar any longer, and so we're going to do this.
We're really in trouble when we lose the reserve status of the U.S. dollar, and that might be the turning point that actually disables the money printer. We won't be able to get away with printing money anymore when, you know, 5 or 10 major countries just bypass the system when they're trading oil and trading commodities, and they just say, forget it. We're not using USD. We're going to use, you know, Bitcoin. We're going to use yen. We're going to use something
else.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, anything else. Mm-hmm. And then we won't be able to just hit print like happy, crazy people.
Yeah. That's why you do want to prepare now.
For sure.
All of this wonderful news that we've been talking about, and there was another one that had happened, is Republic First Bank.
Oh, yeah.
This is the headline, the first U.S. bank failure this year. Mm. We just don't want to see this happen. This is a very large bank, and they're in receivership right now. They were trying to find a buyer. This has been going on for some time. I believe in last year they were having some problems, and the buyer backed out.
Did the buyer back out?
Yeah, they weren't able to buy it.
Because
so
I saw that
it's
on
in receivership.
Friday night that the buyer was still prospective.
Yeah.
So that probably means not business as usual, because they were trying to the news releases that I was reading was saying like, oh, nothing to see here. This is no big deal. But in actuality, this is cracks in the system. And this is going to happen to a lot of banks with what's going on with, you know, we haven't even seen the commercial real estate bubble pop yet. And it is because,
it is, for sure.
100%. And it's going to impact a lot of these mid-sized banks because their balance sheets are loaded with these loans. So we'll see what happens to me. This is a bigger deal and it's the first of many to come. And you got the FDIC, you got the feds in here trying to, you know, make it all like the cleaner in a, you know, a hitman
movie.
So
what's
going to
happen when you start, you know, making banks less and less? Pretty soon you're only going to have one or two banks.
Right.
Like in the state of California.
Yeah. Well, actually,
if that, you know.
Yeah.
And then what are people going to do?
Yeah.
Well, they tried that in the Soviet Union, the Gazbank. They had it one bank.
Yeah. In Canada, there's actually only a couple of hundred banks, maybe less. So we still have thousands of banks down here in the U.S., but Canada just it's 10 times less. And it's much easier for surveillance, for government control, for CBDC implementation and everything else when we are dealing with fewer banks. So it's in the government's best interest to consolidate all these banks. So, I mean, you
yeah,
can...
Yeah, in their best interest, not
exactly.
in yours.
Exactly.
No,
no,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
no, 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 no.
Yeah.
Competition is always in our best interest as the consumer
yep.
because then they are, you know, they compete against each other for our good. Well, it'll benefit us. Mm-hmm. It's in the government's best interest. It's in the Federal Reserve's best interest
mm-hmm.
because they want that. They want to implement their rules, their laws, their surveillance. And to do so, if we the fewer the banks, the better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, it's always bothered me, the interest rate with all this going on, is people, oh, they raise the interest rate, that's good. No,
yeah.
it's not good. How
mm-hmm.
do you understand, where do you equate that that's good?
Is that because they're getting a little something on their bank account, or?
No. But that was the whole thing. It'll stop inflation. How do you figure that stops inflation?
If in order to stop the inflation, they're going to have to pull a Paul Volcker of the 80s, and at that time he jacked rates up to like 20%, and or the
so
well,
no,
the,
20%.
The consumer rates were at 20%, just to put a stop on the a runaway inflation of that time, and it worked. You can't do that now.
No.
Our overall debt, I read somewhere,
right.
would be like $4.6 trillion, which is greater than what the government pulls in now.
Yes. We're in uncharted territories,
yes.
so we
yeah.
can't
you cannot
pull another,
do it.
It's like we've hit the iceberg
it's
already.
Unsolvable.
Right.
It is not solvable. That's true.
That is a good way to put it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
That's
a,
why
it's
we
a
have to go
problem.
To something different.
Right.
You know, you have to have something
Jump
else.
In a lifeboat. Take your value. Put it in a sovereign place. Such as the best of these, and the only one I can really think of that works is Bitcoin. So I would definitely encourage everybody out there listening to do the work that it takes to learn about Bitcoin, guys, because this is happening. It's happening now, and it'll probably happen in your lifetime.
So I think it's going to be wrapped up around the CBDC.
For
if
sure.
they bring that out, mm-hmm. that might be a way to repackage and revalue this debt that we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
It won't change a thing. It just will be in a token.
Right.
And it's just moving another shell of this horrible
right.
shell game that we're
well,
all part of right now.
They can tweak it however they want. They
yeah.
can move decimal
exactly.
places over.
Yep.
They can say, nope, your mm-hmm. coins are going to expire. Okay, nope, you don't get to, you know, go to the ocean this week because... So they've got a ton of different things that they can do with the CBDC.
Yeah, and it's going to become more real. There's 24 CBDCs scheduled to go live by 2030.
Wow. That's crazy.
So,
yeah, mm-hmm. it's no longer a test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No,
you don't
want that to be your only means either.
If you could
I'm just saying you
yeah.
should have something else. You may have to use them for certain
things. If these things.
Things
are your only means, you have no sovereignty. You've
yeah.
lost your freedom as you know it. If you go to BIS.org, it's the Bank of International Settlements site, and it's actually, there's a ton of research that they do. They're kind of like the brain over most of the world's central banks.
Well, they're the central bank of central banks.
Yeah.
Right. It's
they
the brain.
Set the policy.
It's the brain of,
they're the king.
Of the banks. And they publish their information on that site.
They
so
don't hide anything.
No, they don't. Yeah. So they've been doing experiments with central bank digital currencies for a long time, and there's reports on there that you can read that talk about all this stuff, and it should scare the crap out of people. But I don't like the whole fear aspect, but what you should do is you should stand up and take control of your own value.
And how it's going to come out is going to be like a wholesale CBDC so that us retail customers are going to say it doesn't affect us. But
right.
it does.
Yes.
That's how you get one foot in to the door, and then they'll have the other foot
right.
drop.
Yeah, and what are a lot of people going to do if they don't do something with their fiat currency
mm-hmm.
and they wake up and they, you know, we exchanged your fiat currency for the CBDC. Here's what you get.
Right.
Take it or leave it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Our founding fathers specifically wanted us to be able to possess our own property, to be able to have the fruit of our own labors.
Right.
Yeah.
Portable capital.
Yeah. Having our personal property is a big thing. So anyway, guess what, guys?
It's time.
That hour went by like really quick.
Yeah.
And we're at the end. What do you think?
Oh, we're going to have a guest next week. We're going to have Litecoin Leader here, and so we're going to
nice.
Talk a little bit, maybe a little bit about Bitcoin and obviously about Bitcoin and a little bit about Litecoin.
All right. Everybody have a great week. And
see you later.
Thanks. And we don't know much about him, but he came
to save the day when he wrote about the way things are. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.